Jessica Geraghty calling home from Tokyo. Jess has been in Japan 18 years now. She shifted there straight away after finishing Auckland University with no Japanese language skills. And she lives north of Tokyo in Saitama City. It's her husband's hometown. Jess, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to talk to you. 18 years in Japan now. What took you there first?
Well, a friend, actually. I came over during university with her, and her father is Japanese. And I visited there, and I was sort of fell in love with Japan and had a look at Tokyo and all its wonderful buildings and the mega city. And I sort of, just fell in love with it and decided to just come and move over and work and that sort of thing, yeah.
Intriguing, because when you arrived, you had no Japanese language skills.
Yes, that's correct. Embarrassing. However, I made do, and watching TV really helped, to be honest. I learnt a lot of my Japanese from the Japanese television.
Gee, how do you do that? You just watch lots of programs and figure out what the words might be.
Yes, I think I have, we all have the different ways that we learn languages, and I figured out that I learn by listening more than anything else. So I guess I sort of have an ear for it, so to speak.
You've also got that slightly mellifluous way of speaking as a result of your time in Japan, I think.
Yes, everybody tells me I lose the Kiwi accent. When I'm back in New Zealand, of course, it's back in full force. However, with no other New Zealanders around except for my own family, it becomes very ambiguous. Sort of, are you Canadian? Are you American? Where do you come from? It's a bit embarrassing, to be honest.
No, it's cool. You're an international woman of mystery when people try and, pin down where you come from.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, there's a lot to ask you about your life in the 18 years. What did you settle down to do when you got to Japan then?
Well, actually, in Auckland, I interviewed for an English teaching position at a large English conversation school. So I was set with a visa before I even came over to Japan to work. I got Japanese language skills, and I started to work as a regular sort of someone using Japanese in a normal sort of a company situation, doing recruitment, internal recruitment. So I stepped up little by little. And in the background, I had always been doing things related to New Zealand, TV shows, radio, discussing New Zealand in the Japanese media. I started to do more and more work on Japanese TV.
Your television work, I think, Jess, includes hosting a show that compares life in Japan with life in other countries?
Yes, unfortunately, I'm not the host. However, I am the representative for New Zealand, which is nice.
Right.
And yes, we do discuss all sorts of different themes and related to many different topics. And I give the New Zealand point of view, which is really good. They want very specific and interesting facts, and the sort of thing that we probably wouldn't know in everyday life and the newest New Zealand sort of news and current affairs that are happening. So it's a good chance for me to get back into researching New Zealand and finding out about all sorts of different things that are happening. It keeps me in touch with New Zealand as well.
Are Japanese, because a lot of bigger countries, countries with bigger populations, their populations wouldn't give two hoots about New Zealand, really, although, of course, it's had good publicity lately. So the Japanese are genuinely interested, more so than most, in us?
Yes, I think that because of the Rugby World Cup, the idea and that we are not connected to Australia. Marketing has been done very well for New Zealand, and there's quite a good awareness of New Zealand and the similarities between the two countries. Especially they love onsen, which is hot springs. We have so many beautiful hot spring areas, and so do they. So that sort of thing, it really captures their hearts and sort of generates tourism, obviously, for New Zealand, which is a great positive.
What are hot springs? Onsen.
Onsen.
Onsen. Speaking of words, what are the most important words, if you only needed four or five, to use in Japan?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think arigato, which is thank you, arigato.
Yep.
And then a really polite way to say please is onegai shimasu. And that can be used in several different ways. Like you'd like someone to do something for you, or they ask you, should I do this for you? They ask you a question and you can say, onegai shimasu, which is like, yes, please.
Onegai shimasu.
It's a really polite way.
When do you add the domo to arigato then?
If you would like to make it more formal,
okay.
You just pop that on the front, yes.
All right, that's two. What are the other three? I guess hello and goodbye, are they?
Yes, so konnichiwa.
Yeah.
Konnichiwa and sayonara.
Yeah, and that will get you through.
Yeah. Yes, I think so.
Will it impress them the way it impresses a lot of populaces, you know, when we give it a go?
Yes, actually, if you just do your best and can manage a few words, honestly, everybody loves it. And especially if you break out onegai shimasu, they'll be quite impressed, I think.
You got some of your co-hosts on TV to try Marmite, I think.
Oh, yes, that was so funny. You know, to be honest, it's like soy sauce, if they compare it to something, it's very salty for them. So yeah. like a spoonful of soy sauce. So I think it's not that bad. However, they did horrific faces and it was all very funny. And they made me put a really large amount on the bread. So obviously it was going to taste very strong. However, it got the reaction that they, I think the TV show were looking for.
People just can't come to grips with Marmite, can they, overseas? We're talking to Jessica Garrity in Saitama in Japan. You've got three children, which must keep you very busy as well. How old are they?
They are 11 and 9 and 6.
And what are their names?
Their names are Layla, who's the 11-year-old, and Tyler, he is 9, and Sara, she's 6.
Okay. Sara, is that a Japanese name rather than a pronunciation of Sarah?
Well, yeah, I chose names which could sort of be, they're okay both ways. So Layla, Tyler, and Sara, which is S-A-R-A.
Right.
So they do have the kanji, the Japanese symbols that go with them. However, they can be written in English as well.
Okay. And are they bilingual?
I think, yes. I mean, as you get children, they get different stages of language ability. However, I think for especially the 11-year-old and the 9-year-old, they're doing quite well.
And your partner speaks English? You speak English in the house?
He tries to. However, the main language is sort of, it's switched over to Japanese in the years where I've gained more fluency. It becomes a lot easier to communicate in Japanese, actually, yeah.
Of course. Do you get to bring your children and the family to New Zealand at all?
I do, yes. When I get the chance, it is a bit of a mission, to be honest, taking three kids by yourself on the aeroplane. But when we've saved up, when we have that nice chance, obviously at the moment it's slightly difficult. Yeah, my mum lives in Auckland, so it's nice to be able to take the kids back.
What aspects of Kiwi life do they find intriguing, fascinating, Jess?
Being able to wear no shoes outside. For people who are born and raised in a Japanese environment, you wear slippers inside the house, and to go outside, obviously you're wearing shoes. Basically, you're never in bare feet. So to be able to go to New Zealand and perhaps pop over to the supermarket, they were sort of jaws dropped when they saw a mother and a child walking in the supermarket with no shoes on. They thought that was hilarious.
Even at the beach, they won't trot across the road to the beach. They'll go onto the sand and take the shoes off there.
Yes, that's right.
Wow. You are a tourism ambassador for the Saitama Prefecture, which is just north of Tokyo. So do New Zealanders, do Kiwis tend to go north of Tokyo? Do you meet tourists from us?
Honestly, not. It would be great to be able to see more Kiwis and Australians visiting Saitama.
Would Saitama be a place where you could base yourself slightly more cheaply and nip into Tokyo?
Yes, that's right. It is sort of part of the greater Tokyo area. Saitama unfortunately doesn't have any ocean, any sort of beaches, which is one of the things I really miss.
Understand, but you can keep your shoes on all the time. That'd be the plus,
yes.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So tell us about your life, if you would, on a typical weekday, say with the children needing to go to school or whatever. How do you occupy yourself?
The 11-year-old and the 9-year-old, they leave for school quite early in the morning. So they catch a train together to school about 7:30. So they'll commute about 45 minutes to an hour to get to school. Depending on the day, the TV show is being filmed remotely from home. So I may have a TV show, or I may be doing writing for a certain magazine or voiceovers, or at the moment, a lot of it is home-based just because of the pandemic at the moment. And my husband, usually he's back from work quite late in the evening. I do a New Zealand bedtime, which is about 8 o'clock for the youngest child, which honestly, it shocks quite a lot of Japanese people whose children tend to go to bed about 10 or 11.
Really?
So for, yes, New Zealand, I've told them on TV that New Zealand kids, they sleep the longest in the world. I think it's amazing. And sleep is invaluable. However, yes, so I do get to have time to myself in the evenings, putting the children to bed early.
These are long days for everybody, aren't they? A longish school day for your children and a long day for your husband. So what does he works in the city, obviously, as well?
He's opening restaurants and helping out with the restaurants and that sort of thing. The restaurant itself is open till quite late at night. Lately, with everything, it's been sort of quite up and down, and I think he's doing his best. But yeah, long work days, but that's pretty typical, I think, of Japan.
And the Saitama Prefecture, which I think I've probably made sound like a suburb, actually has about 7 million people in it, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. Like Auckland region, we have Auckland City as well. So it's Saitama region and then Saitama City. So Saitama City has got about 1,300,000 people, and that's where I'm at the moment. So it's very sizable.
Let's talk about Kyudo, which is Japanese archery. And I've seen you doing this in a video. You seem quite good at this.
Thank you so much for saying it's very nice. So Kyudo is the martial art of Japanese archery, and it's sort of the really unique point, I think, is that you can start at any age, which for me was sort of, I started about 2.5 years ago. It's sort of seen as a lifelong martial art. So I have little old men in my dojo, in the area where I practice, at 92 years old.
Gee, that is the sort of martial art you want. And you see, you use Robin Hood bows, don't you? You don't use the you don't use the chunky braced bows of competition archery in the West.
That's right. It's very, very different. The bows are so very long. So we just call them long bows, but they're very unique to Japanese.
We're talking to Jessica Geraghty in Japan on Calling Home. I imagine that Kyudo would give you fantastic upper body toning and strength.
Yes, it's very fabulous for actually upper body, yes, and then keeping your balance. The whole point of the shooting is very much the form of your body is quite important. So you develop wonderful posture, and your leg muscles become quite strong too, because you're stuck in this position with your legs sort of half open, and you're not allowed to move from there while you're shooting.
I can see that you're working towards an action flick career, because you've added horseback archery, I was hearing.
Oh, yes. Honestly, it's so, so much fun. It's so fabulous. They use the same bow and arrows as you do with Kyudo. Just getting the horse riding skills up, I think, and then I'll be able to go a bit faster, I hope.
Jessica Warrior Princess.
I hope so.
Jessica Geraghty, yeah. Tomb Raider. Well, no, it's you have a very interesting set of hobbies. I saw you shoot that bow. In fact, you can see Jess shooting the bow on our website if you have a look for it. And it struck me that Japan has probably changed you in lots of ways. You appear very calm. You look like you're sort of born to the bow. But that's an obvious question to ask you as someone who's been there 18 years. How has Japan changed you, do you think, compared with what you would have been like if you'd stayed in New Zealand?
Yes, I think I am a lot sort of calmer. I tend to let things wash over me a lot. That's probably part of the Kyudo.
Because you've been away so long, do you find New Zealand gets stranger as you come to visit, feels more distant? I'm just interested in how much Kiwi, how much, you know, Japanese you are now.
I do notice changes in different areas. For example, sort of obviously the environment and the way Auckland looks, especially when I go back each time. The face of Auckland changes obviously quite a lot.
Will you stay in Japan?
I think I will, yes. Seeing the way that the elderly are treated over here, the way that they can get around,
Ah.
the fabulous public transportation system, and even if I can't drive, it's still very accessible to get everywhere, even as, 80-year-old or a 90-year-old. I'm quite looking forward to that, actually.
Yeah, I can imagine that. That'd be a big attraction. Well, we'd be sorry to lose you. Excellent to talk with you, and thank you very much for joining us on Calling Home. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Jim.
So that's Jessica Geraghty in Japan, calling home this week.